Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. There are certain things that God will do in the life of every believer who is to grow in Christ, in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. There are certain things, because I am a human and I have a fallen nature, there are certain things, because I am profoundly imperfect, that God must do for me as a believer. He must do for every believer, if that believer is ever to get to know God in a practical way. Now, sometimes we believers are content to know God, but not in a practical way. And we know people like this also. We know them, but not in a practical way. For example, I can read a book and tell you all about George Washington, or Napoleon, or King Arthur. And I can tell you all these things about their lives. I can tell you these details. I can sometimes, in some cases, even tell you some of their preferences. I read a thing the other day. George Washington still owes a book to the New York City Library. Two books, as a matter of fact. He owes them. He never returned them. And so this is something I know. I know he was an accomplished man. I can know about his education and the things that he did, his military service. It's all documented and I can know him. But I don't really know him. I will never in this lifetime, maybe if he was born again, I'll get to know him in heaven, but I will never in this lifetime know George Washington, although I can know all about him. And so it is very possible in such a way to know all about God, but never actually know him. I don't know if George Washington was a kind man. I gather probably that he was. Most people in his position don't get there without certain elements of personal character. But I don't know that. I fill in the blanks, if you will, because there are lots of them. And even if I am a historical scholar and I learn everything there is to know about him, I will never know him. Likewise, it is possible to learn everything there is to know about God, to learn everything there is to know about the Savior, and never actually know him. And this is a problem in the lives of many believers. And so, if I am content as a believer to have this kind of a relationship with God, then that is the relationship that I will have. However, in the life of every believer, God will bring in certain details, a program, if you will, that will cause me to go from knowing of God to practically knowing Him. Some believers will get to the point where they are deeply and intimately acquainted with the heart and the thoughts of God. Other believers will never get to that point. Other believers will know God like they know George Washington, but they will never know his heart, his thoughts. They will never know what is he thinking right now, because those things have not been worked into them. You see, I cannot know what God is thinking right now simply by reading about him, any more than I can tell you what George Washington would have thought at any given moment simply by reading about him. But as a believer, God brings into my heart, into my life, this program whereby I will get to know him. He will do that for every heart that is available. To every heart that hungers after him, he will bring such an initiation into their life. And that initiation will challenge them And that initiation will break them, and that initiation will cause them to know Him intimately. In Isaiah 40 and verse 27, the Word of God says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and My judgment is passed over from My God." Is this sometimes how we feel? God, My way is hid from You, and Your judgment has passed over me. God, You are distant to me. You don't see what I'm doing. You don't see that I am in trouble. And Your judgment has passed over me. Do You know that I exist, God? When I pray, God, I feel like I'm talking to myself. Do You actually hear me? Have You ever been in such a place? God, do You know that I am here? Did You notice what happened today? Why did You do nothing about it? Your judgment is passed over me. And the Lord answers. And He says, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Have you not known and have you not heard that the One who is Almighty in your circumstances in your life is never weary? He is never tired to the point of exhaustion that He would faint. He is never tired of your complaining to Him. And He is never tired of your attitude. He is never tired of you, even though you get negative sometimes, or fearful or worried. Although sometimes you don't trust Him, He is never tired of you. Didn't you know this? And have you not heard it? There is no searching His understanding. You see, you think that God is not hearing you, and you think perhaps God is not aware of you. But the fact of the matter is, you're not able to search out His understanding. You do not know why He is waiting in your life. You do not know why He did not initially come and swoop down and carry you away to a safe place. You do not know why He is allowing your circumstance to continue, even though it seems wrong. God, don't you know it's wrong? Isn't that kind of a strange question to ask God? But even when that happens, even if someone wrongs me or circumstances are difficult or there is danger in my life, God says, My ways are past finding out. Don't you know I'm not tired? And I'm not weary? You just don't understand My ways. It is entirely possible for the believer to go through a life without understanding His ways. In other words, it is common. It is normal. And so many of the things that occur in my life, I don't understand, and sometimes it seems like God is ignoring me. But He is not. The truth of the matter in that circumstance is that I don't understand His ways. He has not ignored me. The Word of God says that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And this is a promise from God. So I know that He has not ignored me. I just don't understand what He is doing. And there is a solution to when I do not understand what God is doing. And as a believer, it is imperative that I live in that solution. Because if I do not live in the solution, I will live in the problem. And those are my two options. I can live in the God, don't you know that I am in trouble here? And my circumstances are overwhelming me? I can live in that. And sometimes we believers do live in that. Or I can live in the other. I can live in the fact that He is not tired of me. I can live in the fact that He is not weary. And I can live in the fact that He has not failed or forsaken me. And really, it is up to me which one I live in, because it is all about how I think. On the one hand, I can respond to the natural. On the other hand, I can respond to the supernatural. But it is all about how I think. And so the Lord says, He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. And isn't this the condition that I am in? When I am crying out to God, don't you even know that I'm here? I am very weak now. And I am getting a little bit hopeless and perhaps even a little bit desperate and a lot of bit doubting. And I'm getting to the point where I am weakened and I am ready to faint. And God says He gives strength to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases power. Okay, that's very nice, God, but how are you going to do that? Because here I am in the midst of what I am in. And God gives a solution that I would not anticipate and sometimes would not even care for, because what I would really like is for God to swoop in and rescue me. God doesn't always deliver me from my circumstance, but He will always deliver me in my circumstance. And I have to remember this as a believer, that my circumstance may not change, but that does not mean God's deliverance will not come. Realize something. God's faithfulness, God's promises, God's truth, God's character, God's Word are in no way dependent on my circumstances. They are in no way dependent on me. But if I think that they are somehow dependent on my circumstances, then my circumstances will be very overwhelming to me. If I think that my circumstance is somehow bigger than He is, then my circumstance will be very overwhelming to me, and I will have a big situation with a small God. When in truth, we have a very big God with small situations. Didn't He say that He would not give us more than we are able to handle? Wasn't that a promise from God? So I know that if my circumstance seems too big and I am too small, then what I'm really saying is my circumstance is larger than You, God, because He dwells in me. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And so it is not possible for me to be too small or too big. I'm not actually the one involved. Bottom line is right here. Yeah, there may be a circumstance, but God is the one who's involved with it. I just happen to be a spectator. Hey, if you sit in the stands of a football game, did you win the football game or lose it? And maybe you're very happy because your team won, or maybe you're very sad because your team lost. Were you the one who won or lost? No, you were the spectator. And in our lives, in a manner of speaking, in some regards, we are like that. We are the spectators. Didn't God say He fights our battles? Didn't He say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Didn't He say, vengeance is mine? I don't need to go there to the circumstance where I say, God, don't you even remember I'm here? He said, yeah, I do. You're sitting on the 50-yard line, front row seats. But I'm the one fighting the battle. I'm watching on. Have you ever seen a fan in a football game afraid of the linebacker? I don't know. I like football, but I was never afraid of Ray Lewis. I thought he was pretty cool in the way that he plays his position, but I'm not afraid of him. I enjoy watching him. But we believers are like this. We're on the 50-yard line looking in from the stands onto the field where the action is, and we say, I am afraid now. Are you afraid your team's going to lose the game? Will that really change your world? Maybe it will if you put a lot of money on the game. I guess you shouldn't gamble, see? If you don't gamble, you wouldn't be so afraid. But isn't this what we are like? And so I say to God, do you remember that I am here? And God gives me a solution. But the solution is interesting. The solution is not necessarily what I would choose for myself. He continues in the passage in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But, there's always that little word with God. Circumstance, but. People, but. Right? Fear, but. Tribulation, but. Persecution, but. God has that little word right here in verse 31. After we find that the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, that word wait is an amazing word. Isn't it kind of strange that God says they that wait will renew their strength? What sense does that make? I would think perhaps they that pray will renew their strength. Or perhaps they that read their Bible will renew their strength. Or perhaps they that get around the fellowship of the body of the saints will renew their strength. But that's not what God said here. He said, they that wait will renew their strength. Well, wait there is the Hebrew word kawa, and it means to wait for, to look for, to hope for. The root meaning is that of twisting and winding a strand or cord or rope. In other words, I get wound as a cord or a rope. You ever wind a cord or a rope? It's like small and knotted up and really tight. And you can sense the tension in there. Did you know that that's from God? He brings you to the place that winds you up. You feel like you're going to pop. And God says, I brought you there. He says, I brought you there. Hey, you know what? The devil didn't bring that circumstance. I did. Why? So that you would wait. And that you would hope for something. And what is it that I hope upon? I wait upon the Lord. And I will renew my strength. And that word renew there is halep. And it means to pass on or change or renew. It has a meaning of passing it on or going by something, and it takes on the nuance of passing away or being gone. And it describes the changing of garments or clothes or wages. Isn't that an interesting word? Like, renew my strength, God. What is it really talking about? Well, in Galatians 5:6, it's talking about faith working by love, because neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. And you see, what I sometimes try to do is I try to approach my life with natural provisions and natural thinking and natural understanding and natural solutions. And in that case, the young men will get weary and they will faint and they will fall. But they that wait on the Lord, they that are twisted by God, but still in the twisting they have a hope in His promises and His faithfulness. They find something in the Word of God, it speaks to their hearts and they cling to it. They renew their strength, they exchange. They take off the old man and they put on the new man, as Paul said. Do you realize that this waiting process is the process for you to experience new life? Do you realize that waiting upon God is the eternal plan of God? Do you realize He orchestrated before the world began circumstances where you must wait and you are being twisted and turned and knotted in a little ball of twine? And yet at the same time you have hope and you grow in hope towards the Lord because you have a confident expectation that is from Him. People who pray for their families, their children, often experience this kind of a waiting. They have children who may not be doing what they want and they pray, God help my child. And God says, you're going to have to wait. And they watch their kid and they are getting twisted in these tiny little rope knots. And they are saying, somebody please release the one end so I can be untwisted. And God says, no, if I do that for you, you will remain in a very weak condition. Hey, when that little knot gets bound up, have you ever tried to pull it apart? It's not happening. Don't you know that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and that God's grace is sufficient for you? You see, God wants you to be in this little knot because this is where He actually strengthens you. This is where He renews your strength. This is where He exchanges your natural ability for His ability on your behalf. This is where I put off the old man. Why is that where I put off the old man? Because the old man isn't working for me anymore. I'll keep on the old man so long as he keeps working for me. But the old man doesn't work for me in these conditions, and this is why I get all knotted up. And so finally I get tired of trying to hold on to the old and I lay down the old man and I put on the new where there's a confident expectation and I stop worrying about it. And now my portion becomes my Savior and not my circumstance. Very often we believers have our portion in our circumstance. And God says, have your portion in your Savior. They will renew their strength and they will mount up with wings as eagles. Do you know where an eagle flies? They fly to the greatest of heights. They make their nest in the highest of places. They lay their eggs and produce their young where nobody can reach. I was reading an eagle's nest is in the greatest heights and it can weigh 1,000 pounds in the greatest of heights. They look into the sun to navigate. No other bird can do that, but the eagle does that just to get by. Any other creature looks into the sun and they go blind. Isn't that like what it is like when I don't have eagle's wings? If I don't have eagle's wings, I will look at the sun, but my perception will become blind. Looking at the sun will be challenging to me. Hearing the Word of God will not be pleasant to me if I fight what I am hearing from God's Word. And yet God says, I plan to give you the wings of an eagle. How does He give me this? Wait. You wait. Why wait? Why wait? Why is it specifically wait? Do you know why? Because that is the very thing that gives you the eagle's wings. You see, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, we are told that the character of God, which in 1 John chapter 4 is love, He is love. The character of God, the very first manifestation in my life of the character of God, is that I suffer long. I am patient, I suffer long, I endure in my circumstances. And this is why I wait. Because all of the characteristics of God stem from that one characteristic. In other words, you notice like with the verses about fruits of the Spirit or love, that each thing that precedes, the next thing that follows emanates from that which precedes. Love is patient and kind. Kindness proceeds out of patience. And God is initiating His character in my heart. And this is what it means to have eagle's wings. In all things, I have God's character as my frame of reference, as my thinking, as who I am, who I have become, is God's character in a practical manifestation. This is what it means to be the body of Christ. To be a portion that reveals the life of the one that I am the body of. Waiting does that. Waiting requires patience. And patience is the first characteristic of the love of God. And so why? What is the solution for my knotted up condition? Learn the first characteristic of the love of God. Because when I learn the first characteristic of the love of God, then I will have the fruit of the Spirit of God. Well, what is the fruit of the Spirit of God? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Patience is the first characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And what emanates out of love? Joy. And what emanates out of joy? Peace. And what emanates out of peace? The ability to suffer a long time. And what emanates out of long suffering? Gentleness. And what emanates out of gentleness? Goodness. And what emanates when I know the goodness of God? Faith. And what emanates when I live in faith? Meekness. And what emanates when I know meekness? Temperance, which is self-control. You see, it's all about this one thing. Having the characteristic of God imparted, are we not, after all, predestined to be conformed to the image of the Savior? And the Savior, His essential character is love. And so God implements that process in my life by which I become spiritual, by which I get to practically know Him in practical terms and not just in a book. Wouldn't it be much more interesting to know George Washington face to face than just read about him in a book? Isn't it much more rewarding to know God, if you will, face to face in practical application rather than just knowing Him in a book? Knowing His mind and His heart, knowing who He is as a person and not just as a theological figure. George Washington was a real person. But to us, all he is known as is a historical figure. God is a real person, and He gives me the opportunity to know Him much more than as a historical or theological figure. He gives me the opportunity to know His heart and His character, His thoughts. He gives me the opportunity to commune with Him and fellowship with Him and hear His still small voice as He speaks to my heart in the daily details of my existence. It comes by waiting upon the Lord. He becomes real by forcing me to wait. I may not like it. And I, for one, as a person, personally don't care to wait on anything. But God says, I don't really care if you like it. I've purchased you and I have the right to do what I choose. And I choose that you should know me. And so I will be required to wait upon the Lord. And I don't care what it is that you're waiting upon in your details, one way or another, in all things, you will have to wait upon the Lord. Why? Because you will remain immensely weak unless you do. You will have no ability and no authority against the enemy in the angelic conflict unless you learn to wait upon the Lord. Paul said, I have a thorn. And God said, my grace is sufficient. You're just going to have to wait with your thorn, Paul. My grace is sufficient. You see, this is where I learn in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. This is where I learn what it means, what God does in my life. The Word of God says, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is what waiting does in my life. It puts eagle's wings into my life. I soar on the wings of eagles when I learn that God's ways are beyond finding out. But if I wait upon the Lord, I will experience His faithfulness and His loving kindness and His tender mercies. I will experience His deliverance. I will experience His government. I will experience His heart when I've learned to wait upon the Lord. And He brings me unto Himself. Where do eagle's wings take you? They take you unto the Lord. They take you unto the highest highs. They take you unto the Lord. Your mountains and your valleys are indiscernible when you're on eagle's wings. I remember recently when we flew along the Appalachian chain, I looked out the windows and these mountains that seemed quite formidable when I'm standing on the ground, they were like little creases in the dirt. It was really quite fascinating to see these little creases in the dirt. Yet they are such a famous mountain chain, but they're nothing but a little crease. And this is how I see the details of my life when I wait upon the Lord and when I fly on eagle's wings. What are nothing but little creases in the dirt. It seems like you could step on them and your foot would never know the difference. Why? Because you're flying over them. It is not any different. A valley or a mountain, what is that to an eagle? He's gazing into the sun and he's resting on high. That's where he makes his home, on high. God says He deals with me and He raises me up with eagle's wings. You see, this is how I enter into that government on eagle's wings. This is why He says, my grace is sufficient for you in the worst of your trials, because the grace of God gives me eagle's wings. When I have eagle's wings, I'm no longer worried about my trials. I like sometimes when I'm asleep and I dream that I'm flying. Have you ever had that? It's a great dream. I can fly. And what's interesting to me is that sometimes in my dream, I get into this bad situation. And I remember, oh, I can fly. And then I take off. And my situation is behind me. This is what our practical lives are like. I get into a circumstance in my life and I realize, oh, I have eagle's wings. I can fly. I stare into the sun and all of a sudden I know where to go. And I can fly. And my situation is beneath me. It is far away. It cannot touch me. There is no effect. It cannot touch me. Because I'm flying. And I go on high where nobody can go. And I'm flying. You see, my circumstances, my challenges do not change the Word of God. In Ephesians 2:6, when the Word of God says He's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that does not change with my circumstances. People do not change this in my life. Problems do not change this. Illness does not change this in my life. Eagle's wings take me to the heavenly places at the right hand of God. And when an eagle reaches its heavenly places, where does it go? It goes into a place where it rests. You would think that flying high would be a very strenuous exercise for the eagle, but it's not. He barely moves his wings when he's way up high. And when he finally does get tired, up there in the great heights is his resting place. And he rests in the heights of the heavens. We take on eagle's wings. God forms them. He makes them with His hands. He gives them to me. I say, God, I don't want to wait. He said, I don't really worry about that. God, I'm worried about it. God says, I'm not worried about that. God, I don't like, I'm not too worried about that either. I'm going to give you some wings. I love wings. I love wings. The process that produces the wings in my heart can intimidate me or scare me. Or even taste bad. But the wings are awesome. The wings I would not trade. I'll take the process if I can have the wings. And so God gives me wings. The Word of God says in Psalm 68:18, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell among them. When I ascend on high, I take captivity captive, and I receive gifts from God. When I ascend on high, I break the things that are bondage to me. When I ascend on high, I break the things that cause me to be distraught. And then my life becomes food for men. When I ascend on high, I don't have to try to give someone something. It comes out of me because it's there. There is no striving. There's a great deal of rest with eagle's wings. My freedom. Let me ask you something. And be honest in your own hearts. And don't give me a theological response in your heart. Give me a practical, honest response. Are you free? Are you free? Do you have freedom? Or do you get into bondage through your emotions and your circumstances? Do you get into bondage with what people do or say or think? Do you get into bondage because something didn't go the way you had hoped? Are you free? You need eagle's wings. Eagle's wings give you freedom. I need to learn how to soar on eagle's wings. That's where I am, high above all principalities and powers. That's where I go, high above all the details and the negativities. It's when I soar on eagle's wings. That's where I experience victory, is when I'm on eagle's wings. And God gives them to me by forcing me to wait upon the Lord. I wait upon the Lord, and the grace of God takes care of things for me. And it produces His character in me. And I become victorious. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the Word of God says, "The Lord direct your hearts." Get this. "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." That was the apostles' prayer. Let your heart learn the love of God by waiting on the Lord. Because when I have the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit, I fly on eagle's wings. And I'm seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God. And that is where I find my resting place. Amen.